The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Wow. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, news with an agenda is propaganda. That's just the reality. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use? Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because if I stayed at home, as my wife will testify, I would still talk this much. Isn't that sad? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's a classic one. Love this one heading into the weekend. Do we operate in his appointment or disappointment? You see, you change one letter and you'll see that the thwarting of our purpose is God's better choice for you and me. His appointment or disappointment. What are we operating in? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be sad. Very, very sad. Just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, man, that is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's just like, please, I'll take one.
Yep.
And one to go is what I would like. There you go. That's what it's like when you talk to Jammin' Jacob. It's like, okay. It's just like that piece of like, yeah, no drama. Cool. And you'll enjoy saying hi to him. If you've never had a chance to do so, please do so. Tell him hi. And keep praying for all the other people we've had. Go through the Spoon experience. Let's just be honest. I've run through 9 producers in 10 years. That's right.
That's more than I thought.
Yeah. So it's not because of me, but then again, it totally is. No, I'm kidding. It's actually, we've done a lot of training, so that's a good thing. People move on and move forward. That's a good thing. Anyway, if you want to reach us by text, so if you're in San Diego, it's 11:35 and 33 seconds. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:35 and 35 seconds. And here's the bottom line. You can reach us by phone, like that 972-445-0770 number, or you can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. 8-3. There you go. For those that need it just a little slower and a little bit more like PBS. Anyhow, you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org, based on John 3:30. We're also going to send you up to the website, as we often do. On the website are prayer forms and praise forms. If you want to have prayer requests but not let anybody know, you have a chance to do that. If you want everybody to know, you have a chance to do that. You can also share a praise report, same exact way. Additionally, we have access, and poor Jennifer. I feel sorry for Jennifer because I keep asking her to do the stupidest things. Okay, I'm just being honest. And I asked her to try and find out how many shows we've done. So this is basically show 1,156-ish here in Texas. So we're getting up there we move it up and move it up and move it up. But so I asked her to hunt that down. Wasn't that mean of me? Anyway, so terrible. Like, hunt that down.
She should have told you what you tell me. That'll be $1.50.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that'll be $1.50. I want $3.50. Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. So bottom line to that whole process is on the website, there's cool stuff. We used to have, and I think there might still be plans on how to build a Death Star. I'm not sure if that's still up there, but we had that at one point. So check that out. Plus an opportunity to give. We love the partnership. It's totally, totally, totally awesome to have partners helping us advance the kingdom of God. And no, we're not a perfect ministry. Nobody in this ministry is even anything close. We are positionally perfect because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And then practically, we're like, yeah. Anyhow, check out our website. On there, we have this giving button. It says donate. It's pretty easy. If you have a problem, let us know. We'll try and coordinate that with you. But Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. All this stuff can be understood and better explained on the website. Check out HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's what I'm going to be doing at 3:01.
So that's going to be you running out of here to beat the traffic.
Yeah, and it ain't going to work. I tried yesterday, right? I thought I got a good jump on things. I didn't think it was going that bad. And then there was, there's two things that's happened in Texas since I've been here. There's a lot of accidents, and that's never good. And you always pray for people. You should be doing that anyway, so that nobody's hurt, okay? And then the other thing is that Dallas is becoming a little bit more like California in this fact. If there is a mop on the side of the road, everybody now is slowing down going, is that a mop? Instead of just driving. So I do find that to be a little challenging because that's been increasing. And that'll be really bad when people in Dallas start going, what's that thing from the sky that's wet? And then they don't move.
The other day, I was driving through Dallas, and there was a big bookshelf in the middle of the highway. I swerved out of the way. And then I had my GPS on, and I swerved out of the way. And after I had already swerved out of the way and almost got hit by it, my GPS goes, there's an object in the road. It's like, well, thank you for telling me after I've already swerved out of the way.
Don't you love that? It's just like, that was very advantageous for you to share that with me afterwards. That just confirms that it was, in fact, an object in the road. Anyway. Well, praise the Lord you're safe, but nonetheless, that's the kind of stuff. And who's dropping bookshelves on the freeway? All right, let's move on. Otherwise, I'll just get going on this and won't get off. But we are going to get into our teaching. We are in James chapter 1, and we are in verse 3. So I do want to say that. And just want everybody to be aware that we're going to be praying a little bit for Julianne's going through a whole bunch of stuff. I'll share that with you. Easton's going the up and down, really tough week that she had this week. We talked for a little bit before the show today. So I really want to pray for her. We'll do that in a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you about this text because I read James just like everybody else reads James. And I look at it and I go, because some of those things are challenging in Scripture. They're not, nothing is in Scripture there to just make you feel rotten. Everything is there so that you can draw closer to the Lord, understand how you reflect Jesus better and better by how you walk with the Lord. And some of these things are things that we have to learn to process. That's why I think when people read the Word, if you ever read the Word, the enemy is not far behind trying to say, you're just a loser. You'll never do it. You can never figure out the Word. Just let it go. I mean, that's his job, right? Your job is to process it and go, teach me, my king, so I can walk closer with you. I mean, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, that's my plea. So here we are in James chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this, because you know. Now, remember we did this pure joy when you're going through trials. We did that last week. So consider it pure joy, verse 2, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. This is the second part where I go into James, and I just, you want to sit there and go, don't tell me this. The testing of my faith develops perseverance. This is what that is equated to. Trials, okay? It's equated to trials. It says, brothers and sisters, when you encounter trials of many kinds, you know that the testing of your faith. So the testing of our faith is directly connected to trials that we encounter. In other words, the testing of the faith is the same thing as the trial we're going through. If we could think of our trials as a time of testing and a time of pruning and a time of refining and not a time of judgment, then we would do a better job going through the process. While we're going through it, if we could see it as this trial. And it doesn't say one type of trial. It says trials of many kinds. This trial is helping me to test and purify and refine and strengthen my faith. It's not about God trying to blast me to pieces. And we're going to find out how true that is in another verse and a half. I mean, he backs exactly that statement. He backs up in two verses. And what I want us to understand is you go through it, I go through it, we go through it. It's not because God dislikes us that we go through it. He's helping our faith become refined. It's the same thing, and people have been teaching this for years, and I'm not saying anything that's new to anybody in that can hear my voice. When you have metals, you put them in, you know, the process of melting down all the impurities out of that metal so that it's as pure as it can be. And then with the yucky stuff floats to the top and they skim that off, and the yucky stuff floats again to the top and they skim that off. And the whole purpose is to refine the metal so that it is more pure and more true. And that's what's going on. You're being refined. That's why there's worship songs like Refiner's Fire. It's like the whole reason is because God is helping you and me understand that we're going through the testing of a faith, and that testing, which is directly connected to trials, has an intent. And if it was to judge you and just blast you to pieces, God wouldn't take so much time. It doesn't take that much time to blast you and me. It only takes a little bit of time. But then he says this. He goes, this because you know that the test of your faith develops perseverance. So what I want you to catch in this is this. It's really kind of one of those funny statements. The testing of our faith develops perseverance. So this is a key component that Jesus taught us to prevail in. We should never give up. We should never quit. We should never bail. We should never say, I can't do this. The prophet who said, you know, I can't do this, Lord, for I'm a child. God said, don't say that. There's some things you say to yourself you shouldn't. I can't do this is one of the things you shouldn't be saying to yourself. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, specifically kingdom issues. So the testing of our faith gives us the, wait, muscles of endurance. What does that mean? That means like when you go to the gym and you work out and you do repetitions, right? You do what do we call them? Reps. And you do those reps, and you're doing it on your bicep, your tricep, or whatever. And what happens after you keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that? The fact of the matter is that muscle strengthens, develops, has a bigger use or bigger range in its use. And that's what he's talking about. Jesus not only talked about this from the point of view of character, he also talked about this, by the way, from the point of view of prayer. What do you mean? He taught us that prayer, not just the same, but prayer should also be that same kind of persistence. And so when the scripture tells us to allow the scripture, listen to what it says. verse 4, allow perseverance to finish its work as though we could stop it. We can stop it. That's the problem. Don't you get it? James is saying, allow that perseverance to do what it's supposed to do so that you can be mature. You mean we can cut it off? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, we're masters at cutting it off. I'll give you an example. You're in the gym and you're going to go do a 30-minute cardio. Let's just give you this example. And you're at 18 minutes and you go, you know, I'm just going to go to 20. You just cut off. It's like people do that. I think they do that every day in every lane in every situation. And I will say this. I'm just going to say this. This is totally unrelated to scripture because I was in the gym recently. I think they should change the mirrors because the mirrors too often reflect exactly what you look like. Anyway, the point of this is simply this. Let that perseverance build in you. Let the perseverance, perseverance. Because that's what it's supposed to do. I'll slow it down for a second. Get into our trivia question. If you're in San Diego, don't be a chicken like the San Diego chicken. You want to be able to give us a call or text us on these trivia questions. Here's the question for you. If you're in Dallas, don't be a chicken. We don't really have a chicken. Dallas doesn't have a chicken. It's like it doesn't have, they need something else. What else do we have? I mean, you know, we have a cowboy, but I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, we have cowboys.
What else do we got?
Rangers.
What else?
See, all those stars.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, that's not helping. All right. So here's,
not even close to a chicken.
Not
none
even
of them.
Close to a chicken. All right. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the trivia question is simply this. All right. The clothes of those who stoned Stephen were laid at the feet of who? This is Acts chapter 7, verse 58. The clothes of the people who stoned Stephen, they were laid at the feet of who? Whose feet were they laid at? Was it Timothy, Saul, or Titus? Timothy, Saul, or Titus? Get that? There it is. That's your triv question. See? The clothes of those who stoned Stephen, were laid at whose feet? Timothy, Saul, or Titus? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I want to say I appreciate the person that texted from San Diego. Good job. Shows that you are right in range. They're experiencing fine trials that are bringing them closer to the or fiery trials bringing them closer to the Lord. We want to be praying for everybody, right? Praying for the audience in San Diego, praying for the audience in Dallas. Why? Because you're brothers and sisters, and you're going to spend eternity together. And in this process of the trial, God is going to teach you his graciousness. Isn't that cool? All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Lady J.
Hello. How are you?
I'm awesome. I just want you to know I am a new radio listener, and I love your radio station, everything you talk about. So you have a new fan.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you to say. I so appreciate that. I'm not going to be able to send you $20 for it, but I do appreciate it.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, just teasing. All right, here we go. Here's your triv question. Here we go. The clothes of those who stoned Stephen were laid at whose feet? Timothy, Saul, or Titus?
Saul.
That is correct, Amanda! You are right! And he was just like, yeah, that's right. I'm really in charge of all this stuff. Yeah, bring it over here. Bring it over here. And then on the road to Damascus, the Lord said, knock, knock. It was just like that changed everything, didn't it? It's like, you know, when somebody blinds you and then knocks you on the ground, it's time to listen. That's what it is.
That's right.
Excellent job. 10 stars out of 10. Excellent work.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you for calling, and what a blessing.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So here we go. So now let's go back to the test. Great job, by the way. All right. So here's back to the test. And the reason I want to get this stated right, because I do terrible at some of these things, is to understand what it is that the Lord's really trying to accomplish in us versus what we maybe think the Lord is trying to accomplish in us. And by that, I mean this. We go through the processes in Christianity, and we tend to lean on our own understanding. It's a tendency. I mean, I don't think anybody has to disagree with that. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. That's the hardest part. Because we look at it, and we evaluate it, and we determine it. Guess what? We are not that smart. We want to be, and sometimes we act that way, but it's just not accurate. So when this text says, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and then it says, allow perseverance to finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the first thing we need to understand is the scripture is telling us to allow the perseverance to finish its work so we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, if we will allow the perseverance to continue us in persevering, we won't be in this place of need or want, and we won't be immature about the trial. A modern way to say this would be we need to keep on in order to be keeping on. And at some point, we're going to grow up and produce the most important aspects of our walk, the one that God is pulling out of us, that he wants us to reflect Jesus in. So what is it that these things will produce in us, these trials, these testings of our faith, and the requirements to persevere all produce a position of us that's not lacking anything? I just want you to, like, maybe catch that. Like, you don't lack anything. It's like when we grow up, we recognize that we have everything and nothing at the same time. Let me explain that. We have nothing of ourselves, but we have everything in the Lord. He's your dad. His wallet is not thin. You share in that. But in one sense, you own everything, and in another sense, you own nothing, because you are owned by the Lord. So everything you have is because of him. And so when we get to the maturity point, I'm just bringing this up to you. When we get to that mature point, look what he says. If you allow perseverance to finish its work, so you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We grow up to this place where we understand the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's called maturity. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow. Now, just in case you're wondering, well, can't those trials be about God blasting me? The next verse addresses that. This is what I love. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. See, people take this text, and they use it all by itself, James 1:5, talk about getting wisdom from God. But it's connected. They're all connected. This is like the trials are connected. The testing of our faith is connected. Perseverance is connected. Ask God for wisdom when you're going through it. Great. And he'll do it without finding fault. Why is that important? Because this is proof that the trials and the testing of your faith and everything else is not just about God blasting you. Again, if he wanted to blast you, I'll bet a bazillion dollars it wouldn't take much. He'd just go into your insides, pull out all your unspoken thoughts, and then you're in trouble. See what I'm saying? In this part of our salvation, we've talked about this numerous times. You have justification, sanctification, and glorification. Hey, this is the sanctification part where the Lord is making you look like Jesus. You said, now remember, don't lie. You said, oh, Jesus, I love you. I want to be just like you. And God the Father said, okay. That prayer is still being answered. It's going to go on for quite some time until he comes back. Now, that's amazing. It's fantastic, though. It shows the level of commitment God has to you personally. You think, are you trying to tell me my individual trials are coordinated in such a way that everything I go through is about God teaching me to be more like Jesus, to be more mature, more let go of it and trust him for it, not lean on my own understanding, have a better general reflection and attitude in life? Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. I can't even say it better than I just said it. Let the Lord do what the Lord's going to do. Yield to it. Trust him for it. Persevere in it. Stand firm in it. He's going to bring something amazing out of it. How do you know that? I don't know. Silly scriptures like all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Stuff like that doesn't hurt. Right? And, oh, wait, this one. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, which doesn't say in everything whine and complain. It says in everything give thanks. Why? Because he's going to work it out for good. Why? Because he loves you. Oh. Okay. It's like, see, some of this stuff, it's very deep theologically. Or we could just say, thank you, Lord. Right? All right. Now, if you're in San Diego, which I love San Diego. I spent many years there, 20 years there. You can keep listening to the show by going to our website at hemusincrease.org. Or you can keep listening to what's on at K-Brite. It's great stuff. No problem. If you're here in Texas land, hang out. We're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith, okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it, don't be afraid of it, and then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line, just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid.